subject, if we could maybe get different ones to read for us. We're dealing with something that began in the early church, and at the beginning, it might not look like this was too big of a deal. I'm going to say that it was something of error, but you wouldn't probably think at the beginning that it was that great of an error. And it is known today as the monarchical episcopate. We'll put that up there in a minute. I know it's a challenge to spell the last of those words. Let's look at the truth first, all right? And if anyone wants to get these passages and we can read them, 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4, Acts 20, 28, Titus 1, I'll get that one for you in a moment, most exactly. Anyone want to read for us 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4, please? Okay. We don't have to go in order. Get that one, Acts 20, 28.
Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood.
Okay, now, just before that, these are the elders of the church of Ephesus that he's talking to. Let's find it exactly. Look at where he calls for them. Verse 17. See 20:17? We should put that with it. This is out of order, but and 17. All right. Verse 17. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus. This is Paul. And called for the elders of the church. Note that you have elders, plural, church, singular. So there was more than one elder in a given church. And speaking to them, he says this, which Will read, these elders are to take heed to all the flock. Now, flock, and you're talking about leaders, elders of that flock. What are the leaders in a flock? That's a shepherd. Okay? And this is among which the Holy Spirit made you overseers. So the elders are overseers, and they're in a flock, and then they're told to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. We always use this as a deity, an incarnational reference, but there's this in it as well. Do you see how elders, overseers, and shepherds are all the same person? So we can synonymously use the word pastor, which is an old word for shepherd, elder, or overseer. All talking about the same person. Maybe there's a difference. I'm sure there's a difference. The difference is sometimes that of function, that is, an overseer oversees. That's what he does. But an elder talks about the same person, but in relation to his elderly status. He's more mature spiritually than the rest of the flock. Same people, but one talks about function. Shepherd does the same thing. That's part of the flock analogy. So pastor, overseer, elder, all the same person. All right, Amy, 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. You see how, I should probably read these for those on Skype, but do you see how the elders who are among you are exhorted to operate as overseers, and then they shepherd the flock, and when the chief shepherd or arch shepherd, the Greek word employed, appears, you will appear with him in glory. So, you're seeing it again. Elders are overseers, are pastors or shepherds. And then this one from Titus 1, if you go there, Titus 1, in verse 4, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city, as I commanded you. Then it goes into the qualifications for this man. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless. This word bishop is what is translated in the others as overseer. So, we have this. And with this word that is translated bishop here, in verse 7, bishop, is this Greek word, transliterated into English, that is E-P-I-S-K-O-P-O-S. Episkopos. All of this, then, is countered, or we're going to say this is versus the what we're talking about today, the monarchical episcopate. Okay? The monarchical, we've seen that in relation to something else, right? Remember monarchianism? How that was a form of anti-Trinitarianism, where we had, if we bust it up like that, this is one, and this is ruler. One rule, and then eel, in English, makes it of that. So, of one rule, and then this episcopate is from this word, episkopos, which you have in at least Titus 1:7, translated bishop, but this is better, so we'll say literally, overseer. Okay? What you end up with here is that all of these words are talking about the same person. If we say bishop, elder, this is also, bishop is also overseer, same word, but translated two different ways. Then shepherd. This is also pastor. Pastor means shepherd. All right, so we've got all of these words, all of this, all of that equals same person. All right? One person. The monarchical episcopate happened to develop very early, and that means most literally, this equals, we'll put it like this, one ruling, we'll just say bishop. Know that that's an overseer, though. That's what monarchical episcopate means. And what happened was, very early in church history, people started to make a distinction between elders and the bishop or overseer. When I say early, I mean we're talking about Ignatius. All right, Ignatius dies in 110. On his way, as he's going from Antioch to Rome to be martyred, and we're going to see him in these series. They'll be talking about him, and they'll be talking about Polycarp too, in this film series that we're viewing this in the next 4 weeks. As he writes, he makes a distinction all the time between the overseer or bishop, one of them in a church, and then the elders under him. So this thing went awry. What we see in the scripture very quickly morphed into the idea that one of those elders was viewed as the bishop, and the elders were under him. The elders were a subservient class of clergy. They were a subjected form of clergy under the overseer. And elder became a stepping stone to the bishop title. All of that against these places in Scripture. All right, now what this will do is it will prepare the way for the papacy, that is, the Pope, to happen. They don't know they're doing that. In the time of Ignatius, he knows nothing about a Pope. He's never heard of a Pope before. Doesn't know anything what that is. Nobody in history heard of that at the time of Ignatius. But this monarchical episcopate will see, for instance, let's say if it were here, you'd have the bishop of the Church of Indiana, and then you'd have this battery of elders under him. He would have been an elder, and he is an elder, but he's now viewed as something higher than that. This development, then, of the monarchical episcopate paves the way for one of those bishops to be viewed as higher than the others. And time will have to transpire to develop this to the point where you end up with a papacy. But this is the first thing, this is the first error that kind of situates itself in the church to straighten that road for the papacy. This also shows us, as our church history is church history with a doctrinal emphasis, how something that seems so small as an error can just burgeon into something that, in this case, what we're talking about, takes over the world and rules the Roman Empire and beyond it, namely the office of Pope. I see this all the time. I see it happen all the time. Someone will go with me to a given place. This used to happen more in the past than it does now. And I'll hear something, they'll hear something, we'll hear a teaching together. That teaching will be, I'll know, that point in the teaching is incorrect. It's a small thing, though. It's not really anything. Only to find out that when we come back, those who went with me have made certain decisions where they're basing life choices on that thing that I'm saying is very small. And comparatively, relatively, it was very small. Not something that we would want to pinpoint that or, you know, make a point of saying that this was wrong. Sometimes the smallest errors can result in the greatest damage. In the case of the monarchical episcopate, that would happen. What would happen with this from going to the point where you had a number of elders and one of them was recognized above the other and was called an elder? That would graduate to that elder who was known as overseer now, or bishop, being over not just the elders in a given church, but over all the churches in a region. So that the bigger city, with probably going to be the bigger church, just because there are more people in it, in the city, and the remnant of those who believe is going to be bigger in a city than in a smaller town, that bishop then, or overseer, in that bigger city, began to rule and have some kind of authority over all of the elders in all of the other smaller cities in a region. So that when you get to like the 300s, Athanasius, who's a good guy, I mean, he's on our side, he's a super homoousion, he is a Christocentric person, but in the system that had developed by the mid-300s, Athanasius rules over all of the churches in Egypt and Ethiopia. And there's one in Rome who will, in time, become the Pope. And there's one in Antioch. And there's one in Jerusalem. And those were, become the four, like the heads, or the top four leaders or bishops in the church. As the church gets further and further away from the Bible as the guidebook. All right? This is how that began to happen in relation to church government. It's not in the form, it's not in the hideous form that it's going to take in the medieval time and in the Middle Ages in what you're going to call the papacy and the Pope. It's not like that now. Now it's just, we just recognize that there's one elder among the elders who rules over them. You see that in a lot of professing Bible-believing churches today. You'll have a pastor and then a board of elders. If you're an elder, you're a pastor. I'm not saying that everyone who's made an elder is a pastor, but what I'm saying is if you are an elder, you should be a pastor. If you are a pastor, you're one of the elders and you are equals. It's not like this hierarchy of pastor is over the elders. That may be something you see in a lot of churches today. And they may call themselves Bible-believing, and they may be such in other areas. We're not demeaning them at all. But that doesn't make it correct. That doesn't make it right. This is the situation. Bishop, overseer, elder, shepherd, pastor, same office, same individual, plural in a given church, all with equal authority, with equal position, all right? It's not to say that you can't have one, like we have here. It's not to say that you're not a church if you don't have any. It's just saying that the preference is at least one, and the preference, divine preference in the Scripture, is more than one in a given church, but not many, according to James 3:1. All right? We have our video that you've watched. We have, last week we didn't have a lot of time for discussion, and we were dealing with canon, and canon studies can be scary to some. And then we have the monarchical episcopate. So, any questions, discussion, anything at all on any of that? Will.
Do you think largely there is a steering of this, maybe because of the apostles, because they were viewed as, well, if the apostles say it to be true, then it's true. And then maybe like a handing down from there, well, I'm the apostle, or, you know, I'm a disciple of Peter, and he was an apostle, so I know more than this, so I should oversee this, and all these questions should come to me. Like, did that have anything to do with it?
No, they will fall back on that. But like, if from the beginning, it's not like that, and the elders are equals, and they're all viewed as doing the same thing. Peter, in this passage that we read about, he said, I exhort the elders among you who am a fellow elder. So he doesn't even put himself above the elders when he writes to them. And so this didn't exist back then. But as time went on, to justify this, they're going to call it apostolic succession and say that, for instance, Peter was the first bishop of Rome, and there's no indication he ever went to Rome except to die. You know, never was... there's nothing in the Scripture that suggests that Peter was ever in Rome, let alone that he was an elder there. When Paul writes Romans, Peter's in Jerusalem. They've already got an elder in, at least one, in Rome. So he's definitely not the first, but that's what the Pope would later kind of make his claim to that authority on, the false history that Peter was the first Pope, and then that he handed down his authority to the bishop. And then when that bishop died, he kind of passed the mantle on to the next bishop. And then you get down to today where the Pope's still saying that.
So, biblically, the concept was there can be more than one, like, spirit-gifted elders, but only one is the leader of that church.
Scripturally?
Yeah.
No.
I thought you said there are...
Yeah, scripturally, the preference, it's not a mandate, but the preference is for more than one elder
in a
church. Well, the reason I say it's the preference is because that's what you see done in the Scripture. For instance, we have this one. Acts.